Well, on a Sunday morning for the next, I don't know how many, not too long, we're going to be looking at various body parts, which might be interesting. So, yeah. So, not just of ourselves, but predominantly of the Lord. Although He is a spirit, we are told that He's referred to as having eyes and feet and arms and hands and so on, and a mouth. And so we'll be looking at various things like that. So before we begin, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. And Lord, as we stop to consider You and ourselves, we pray that You will be with us as You promised. We thank You that, Lord, we can get a glimpse of the invisible God through the manifestation of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, how He was manifested to us and was clothed in flesh and blood and bone, and Lord, allowed us to see what You are like, and so we can grow to love You more. And Lord, I do pray that as we stop and consider these things today, You may encourage our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think I need to convince you that some body parts are considered more comely or prettier than others. And one part of the body that doesn't get too much attention are the feet, obviously. And if you're a young man and you're trying to impress a young lady, you may say something like this: "You have such beautiful hair." And that would go down well. Or, "Your eyes are so sparkling today." All right. Or, "Your smile is so lovely." But I wouldn't encourage you to say, "Your feet are so stunning." All right. Generally, that doesn't sort of wash well. All right. They may be stunning, I don't know. But generally, I'd stick to the hair or the eyes or the smile. Feet aren't as comely as other parts of the body. And even in the days of Christ, to wash someone's feet certainly wasn't something that everyone fought for. It was considered a humiliating job. It was the responsibility of a servant to wash people's feet. And that's why it was such a big thing for the Lord Jesus to wash His disciples' feet. And so feet have been despised for centuries. For someone who loves, what do you call them, the people that do feet? Podiatrist and all that. I don't know how they do it. All right, they're amazing people. All right, when I saw my dad go in to get his toenails clipped by these people, I thought, these people deserve every cent that they get. All right, feet have been despised for centuries, and but despite that, despite the feelings of or the attitude towards feet, when Jesus walked upon this earth, His feet seemed to get special attention from others. Shows how great He was. We're told in the Gospels how that a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at the Saviour's feet and begged for mercy. We're told that Jairus, whose daughter was sick, went and he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus. A leper who had been healed out of thanks for what Jesus had done, it says he went and fell at the Saviour's feet. A man who had a legion of demons within him, we're told that the Lord healed him, and then the next thing we're told that he was sitting at the Saviour's feet, listening to him. A woman who had a reputation of being a sinner in her town even washed the feet of the Lord Jesus with her own tears, then proceeded to wipe His feet with her hair, and then even then kissed His feet. And so despite the lack of attraction that feet may have, people seem to be attracted to the feet of the Saviour. Now the question is, why is that the case? Why his feet? Well, I can think of one reason why people were attracted to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, it was a sign of humility. You know, these people had come to the very end of themselves. They didn't have any more pride left. And so they didn't mind being at the feet of the Lord Jesus. This was a sign that they had come to the end of themselves. They were humble. They were willing and ready to do anything to get help. For example, if I came out, asked you to come out, I took my shoes and my socks off and said, "Who wants to come and kiss my feet?" All right? I don't think I'd be... my daughter is dry reaching over there. I don't think I'd be knocked down by people wanting to do it. I can remember when... this is terrible as an uncle, all right? Even though I was the favourite uncle, I remember that I had these chocolate bars and I went and visited my brother David, and Peter, he was an obsessive little kid at that stage, and he was begging me for some of these chocolates. And I, hot weather, I had thongs on, I said, "Oh, look, I'll give you a chocolate if you kiss my feet." And so sure enough, he got down and he kissed my feet. All right, he really wanted that chocolate. But my brother was fuming that I made him do that. You know, like, how dare you make my son humiliate himself like that? So it sort of, he got his chocolate. He didn't mind. But it's not something that you're really going to do all the time, unless you're desperate for chocolate, I guess. But... I wasn't meant to say that. It just came to my mind. Yeah, but... And Darren knows my brother. It wouldn't have gone down too well, would it? No. But people didn't mind going to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the reason why is, when they went to his feet, they were saying, "Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I've come to the end of myself. I've got nothing else left. I need you, and I understand that. I need you to heal my son. I can't heal him myself. Or I need you to forgive me and change me, because I can't change myself. Or I need you to release me from this bondage that I'm in with this demonic beings, because I can't release myself." They understood that they needed Jesus. And so when a person falls at the feet of Christ, it means that all pride is gone. And they are humbled and they are willing to go to him for help. Otherwise, they certainly wouldn't be at his feet. And friends, if there's one thing I believe we as Christians need to be doing more, is we need to be falling at our Saviour's feet. We need to be found at his feet. Now, we know that we can't spend time physically at his feet, but we can spend time at his throne in prayer. We can spend time at his feet spiritually. And that's what we need to do. So often we're very busy trying to work things out ourselves, trying to sort out our problems ourselves, or just willing to suffer ourselves, and we don't want to go and show our Saviour that we need him. And we don't want to get before his throne and bow before his feet and say, "Lord, I need you at this time." And one lady, I believe, who certainly didn't have a problem being at her Saviour's feet was Mary, the sister of Martha. And we know of one occasion when she was at the Saviour's feet, but there are three occasions mentioned where Mary was at the Saviour's feet. She seemed to love these feet. And today we're going to look at the three occasions that she went to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are three occasions where we should be going to the feet of our Saviour as well. First one's found in John chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there. In John chapter 11, in verse 32 and 33, this is the time when Lazarus, her brother, had died. Jesus had been, they had sent for Jesus to come, but he had delayed in coming, and he had died by the time that he arrived. And it says there in John chapter 11, verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him," what did she do? "She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And so here we see a time when Mary was distraught. Her brother had died. She had hoped that Jesus would have returned before that had happened, but he hadn't. And so now Lazarus was dead, and to Mary, everything seemed to be going wrong. No doubt she was heartbroken. She was filled with grief. I dare say that she was very confused as well. I imagine up until the time when Lazarus had passed away, they were convinced of the love of the Lord Jesus and how he would make sure that he just got there in time. And so when he actually did pass away, I could imagine that all the doubts and confusion would have flooded their mind that how could this have happened and why would he have let this happen? And so she was full of confusion and grief. But in the midst of all this, she did the smartest thing that she could have done. And when she saw Jesus, rather than attacking the Lord Jesus, she went and she fell at his feet. And she pleaded with him. She needed him more than now more than ever before, and she knew that without the Lord Jesus, she had no hope whatsoever. And she saw, and Jesus saw her sorrow, and it says that he was troubled. And I like that. I like the fact that Jesus does get troubled when he sees us full of sorrow. He didn't brush it off. He didn't care. You know, sometimes when you know the end result, you can sort of not as, you don't feel as grieved for people, you know, when you might know with your children that they've lost something, but you know where it is, you know, and so you don't sympathize with their sadness because you know there's going to be a good ending to it. And Jesus could have quite easily have not sympathized with her sadness because he knew that there was going to be a good ending, but it still grieved him. And I like that. He is troubled when we're troubled. When he sees us sad, he is saddened too. We mustn't forget that he understands the feelings of our infirmities and he is that compassionate high priest. And when we go to him in sorrow and sadness and confusion, he understands and he doesn't like to see us like that. And for Mary, she took her sorrows to the Lord Jesus, and then Jesus took Mary to the tomb. And then he did a wonderful miracle for her, and he brought back to life Lazarus, and that's a blessing. And brethren, these are times when we need to be at our Saviour's feet. When things seem to be going wrong, when times are full of confusion, when our heart is full of sorrow, the best place to be is at our Saviour's feet, where we can pour out our sorrow, where we can share our anger even, or our confusion to him, and ask him for help. You know, I know there are many times when I am maybe driving in the car or something's happened and I am full of sorrow and I know I just repeat, Lord, I don't know what I'm meant to do. Lord, I don't know what I'm meant to do. And I'm sad and I don't know what to do. And I don't even know what to ask for. But I just tell him I don't know what to do. And that's the time when we show him. We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I do need you. You have to come and help me, because I'm at the end of myself. I can't fix it on my own. I can't sort this out by myself. I don't know what to do. And without you, I have no hope. And let him see him that we're humble before his feet, asking that we need him. You know, I love that song that Ron Hamilton wrote. And I'm not sure of the circumstances why he wrote it, but I dare say he was going through some troubles where he said, Lord, I need you when the sea of life is calm. Oh, Lord, I need you when the wind is blowing strong. Whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. And that's what Jesus wants to hear in times. Sadly, Some people are that proud, they will go and they will fall at the feet of doctors. They will fall at the feet of counselors. They will fall at the feet of their friends and share everything. Or they'll struggle in their own strength to try and sort it out. Or they'll even be satisfied to stay sad and full of sorrow, but they never go to the Saviour's feet. Now, after going to the Saviour's feet, He may direct our paths to a doctor, a counsellor, a friend, or someone to help us. But so often we want to go everywhere else before our Saviour's feet. He tells us in Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me," he says. That's what he wants us to do. Go to him. He will help in his perfect timing. And then what happens? We glorify him. What did Mary do after Lazarus came out of that? They glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. She went to him, fell at his feet, poured out her needs and concerns, and then he helped her. And when hard times come, we need to go to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wonder if when you're there, does he care for you? In that spiritual sense, look at his feet and see the nailed, scarred feet. And how those feet were, he was willing to allow them to be nailed to a cross so that he could save your soul. And that's when you realize that he does care. He cares for your soul, your eternal state, and every other thing else. And that's what Mary did. She went to the Saviour's feet when she was in times of trouble. But then over in the next chapter, in chapter 12, we read of another time when she is at the Saviour's feet. It says in... Now, it doesn't... I'm presuming this is her. I'm pretty sure it is. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment." And so this time we see that Mary is at the feet of the Lord Jesus, but this time she's there to worship him. 6 days before, Jesus was to be offered up as a sacrifice for mankind. He's there at Bethany, near Jerusalem. He's in the house of Lazarus, the man who he had raised from the dead. And Lazarus was sitting there at the table with the Lord Jesus. And Martha, his sister, was making things ready and getting things ready for that time. And Mary comes in. She had ointment. It says that it is very expensive ointment. And she made her way to the Lord Jesus. She bowed down at his feet, opened that ointment, and then she worshipped him. And she poured that ointment on his feet. But it didn't end there, because we're told that she took her own hair and wiped that feet and that ointment into his feet. Now, ladies, I know you wouldn't do that to anyone unless you truly loved them and respected them. You know, even to get a wife to do that to a husband, that would, I dare say, that wouldn't happen too often if it does. That shows the love and respect that this lady had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Such was Mary's love and respect that she fell at his feet, worshipped her dear Saviour, honoured her precious Lord, and thanked her dear friend, I dare say, for what he had done for her brother Lazarus. And she did all that at her Saviour's feet. And so she poured the ointment out, and a sweet odour filled the room, and everyone in the room could smell it. And I think it's interesting that in the book of Revelation, we're told that the prayers of the saints are as a beautiful odor or fragrance that goes up into the nostrils of God Himself. That if you want to know what brings a sweet smell to our Heavenly Father, it is the prayers of the saints. When you pray to the Lord, when we come here on a Wednesday night, I trust or I know He smells a beautiful fragrance coming out of this building as the prayers of the saints go up to His throne. And our prayers of worship are like that ointment of Mary. When we bow in prayer at the Saviour's feet, our prayers are precious to Him. Just like that ointment was expensive and precious to God, He sees our prayers as precious and expensive. Our prayers are like a sweet smell to Him, just like that fragrance was. And our Saviour is honoured when we praise Him in prayer. And something I believe we all need to do regularly is bow at our Saviour's feet and worship Him in prayer. You know, sure, there are going to be times when we fall and we plead with Him for help in times of trouble. We're very good at doing that at times, but we need to fall at His feet and just simply worship Him as well. Thank Him for the things He has done. Thank Him for who He is and how great He is. And the question is, when was the last time you actually knelt and you prayed to just thank the Lord for what He has done for you and for who He is? You know, we're told in Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And Mary gives us a wonderful example of this, that we are to worship Him at His feet. And that's another time we should be found there. But then there is the most familiar time when Mary is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And at this time she wasn't there pleading for help. She wasn't there to worship, but she was there to learn and to listen. And what we learn here is something that we need to be regularly reminded of, and that is the importance of being at our Saviour's feet simply to learn from Him. Not to plead, not even to worship, but to learn. You know, that song that Ron Hamilton wrote also says, sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my ways, I turn my gaze away from You and soon forget to pray. And that often happens, doesn't it? We can quickly turn our eyes off the Lord Jesus. I don't need to pray. Life is going well. I don't need to be at the Saviour's feet. I don't need to be learning from Him. I think I know enough. And we quickly forget to spend that time at the Saviour's feet. But if you turn over in Luke chapter 10, I'll just read it. We see the time when Mary is at the Saviour's feet, the most familiar time. It says in Luke chapter 10 in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about with many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so here we see that the two sisters are with the Lord Jesus. No doubt they both love the Lord. No doubt they are both loved by the Lord. And here we see that Jesus is a guest. And we see that these two sisters had different priorities, didn't they? One wanted to serve the Lord. One wanted to sit at His feet and listen to what He had to say. And there's been much said over the years about what should have happened here. You know, I often used to think that Mary was the lazy one and she should have got up and helped. Others said, why couldn't they have both served in the kitchen and got things ready, and then they both could have sat down and listened? But the reality is we should stop and consider what Jesus wanted, because he's the one that we should be pleasing the most. And when you stop and look at the life of the Lord Jesus, you have to ask yourself, was in his ministry, was he ever worried about food? And the answer is no. Food was like the last on his list. We're told that he would minister for hours on end, sometimes days on end, and not eat. When it came to ministering the things of God as opposed to food, food always came last in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't believe food was the number one thing that Jesus was thinking about when he was there ministering in this house. In fact, I believe he would have been far more happier if both sisters were sitting there at the feet listening to his words, and then afterwards, if there was time, then they can feed people that are there. I'm sure Jesus was more interested in ministering to Martha's soul than for her to minister to his body. He knew the importance of a soul. But it seems as though Martha felt compelled to serve the Lord instead. And we can relate to that and understand why. You know, this was the King of Heaven who has just come, the Messiah. You know, after the Queen turned up to our house, I dare say, ladies, you'd break loose everything that you could. Every little good little thing that you had. You know, the Tim Tams would be opened and everything would be brought up. I was thinking that this morning, I wonder if the Queen would bite off opposite corners and suck through the Tim Tam her cup of tea. I'm picturing like the Queen with chocolate all around her mouth while she's sipping. Sorry. That's my imagination running wild. But I'm sure you'd get the Tim Tams out nonetheless. I don't know if she'd eat them. But you would go all out for her. But it wasn't the Queen, it was the King of Heaven. And in those days, the custom was to make sure no one left hungry. I've been, when I lived in Sydney, you go visit some Lebanese. There are lots of Lebanese in Condell Park or Bankstown. I tell you, you can't leave that place without being very full, all right? Lebanese and those Arabs and that sort of culture, you've got to leave full, full as anything. And I'm sure that's what she was wanting to do. Make sure that every guest, particularly the Lord Jesus, left full. But she had missed the point. She didn't realize there was something even more important, and that was sitting at the Savior's feet and listening. And isn't it the same with us? Sometimes we can be so busy, we can miss the most important thing, and that is sitting at the Savior's feet. You know, those quiet times can just be pushed aside. We just can't get to them at the moment. Or getting to church and hearing God's word. We just can't get there at the moment. We've got too many other things happening. We have priorities that seem to be far more important than sitting at our Savior's feet and listening to him. What I find interesting is that in a world where we have so many time-saving devices, we still don't have time to sit at our Savior's feet. And I know I've said this before, the reality is, although we say we don't have time, we do have time. I know Chris knows this because he quotes it back to me now. You always have time for what's important, don't you, Chris? Yeah, he keeps telling me that now at different times. You always have time for those things that are important to you. And that's true. If spending time with the Lord is important, you will always find time to do it. We'll find time to play with our cars or watch TV or play sport or watch sport. Certainly find time to sleep or something else, but so often we find it hard to find time to sit and listen to our Savior. We can even take it one step further where we're very busy serving the Lord like Martha, but we don't have time to listen to him. And we think God must be, he'll be happy, at least I'm doing something for him. Where he would have preferred that we sit at his feet and listen to him. As it says there in Luke, when Martha was upset, Jesus said in verse 42, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." There's a lot of things that are important, but there is one thing that is needful, and that is to spend time with the Lord. Being a good host was important. Feeding the guests was good manners. Being a servant was honourable. But the Lord said there was one thing that was needful, and that was sitting at His feet and listening to His word. And the same goes for us. You know, young people, doing your homework is important. Mums, being a good mother and looking after your children is honourable. Men, providing for your family is necessary. Serving the Lord in this local church is good, but sitting at our Saviour's feet is what is necessary. The Lord told Mary that, or Mary knew it, He told Martha, and that is the same for us. And if we want to have a church that is strong until the day that the Lord Jesus comes, it must be filled with individuals who will daily sit at the Saviour's feet, who will go to the Saviour's feet to worship Him, who will be there at the Saviour's feet in times of trouble and sit at the Saviour's feet to listen to what He has to say. And so tomorrow when you get out of bed, I guess some may have socks on, but at least when you take your socks off and you see your feet, maybe that will be a reminder of the feet of the Lord Jesus and where He wants you to be that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the feet of our Saviour walked upon our earth, and they were dirtied, they were nailed, they experienced excruciating pain. Father, then they rose again. And that, Lord, we can worship our Saviour's feet, or worship at His feet, and know that, Lord, You understand our fears, our sorrows. Lord, You have the answers to life. And that, Lord, we can worship You and then be taught of You as well. And I pray that we would do that, Lord, and that so that we may grow thereby. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.